Good afternoon. This is Bob Krueger with Thought for Food for December of 2021. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and repeated on the third Saturday month at 3 p.m. It's intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, but hopefully be of interest for everyone. When the calendar reaches December, we realize that this year is almost over. We may look back at many memories, some pleasant and some not so pleasant. But isn't this the case with other years? This year has been a hard one for most of us. Dates to remember this month begin with Remember Pearl Harbor Day, the 7th, that commemorates the beginning of World War II for the United States. The National Guard was established on the 13th. The 10th is Human Rights Day, and the Bill of Rights Day is the 15th. Winter officially begins on the 21st. Christmas Day is Saturday this year. It's the 25th. Kwanzaa begins on the 26th, and we await the new year on the 31st. We begin this article with some recognitions. Bill Smith, the legendary Chapel Hill chef and activist, is this year's recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Honor from the Southern Foodways Alliance, a group that documents, celebrates, and organizes the traditions, the culture, and the evolution of Southern food. During their fall symposium in mid-October in Oxford, Mississippi, Mr. Smith was awarded the group's Craig Claiborne Lifetime Achievement Award, named for the famed New York Times food writer. The award's namesake shares a connection to Mr. Smith as a 1985 piece by Mr. Claiborne helps introduce Crook's Corner and his founding chef and co-owner Bill Neal to a national audience. Following Mr. Neal's death in 1991, Mr. Smith took over the Crook's Corner kitchen and steered it for the next 25 years until his retirement in early of 2019. The Southern Food Association has been handing out this award since 1990. Previous award winners included Edna Luz, Lee Chase, Marcy Cohen Ferris, and Ben and Karen Baker. Ben Baker introduced Mr. Smith during the award ceremony. In the Southern canon, no one is more deserving of the Craig Claiborne Lifetime Achievement Award than my friend Bill Smith, said Barker, who with his late wife Karen Baker ran Durham's beloved Magnolia Grill for 25 years until its closing in 2012. Mr. Smith was more than a steward of a famous kitchen in his time at Crook's Corner, continuing the restaurant's celebration of Southern food and seasonality, but added his own recipes along the way, including the iconic Atlantic Beach Pie, a citrus custard pie with a saltine cracker crust. Of the award, Mr. Smith said, "The company it keeps means the most to him. It adds me to a list of very distinguished people," he said, "many of whom are my very best friends in the restaurant world. Beyond the kitchen, he's been a vocal activist for the rights of immigrants, inspired by the friendships he made in the Crook's kitchen. Behind the scenes, he's worked to raise funds for restaurant workers during the pandemic." Each year, the Southern Food Association honoree receives a painting celebrating his life, created by artist Blair Hobbs. Mr. Smith features a Pabst Blue Ribbon can, the chef's preferred post-shift beer, two slices of Atlantic Beach pie, and sunflowers, which adorn Mr. Smith's kitchen tablecloth. In a brief speech, Mr. Smith marked this moment to consider what forgiveness might look like in a divided society. He questioned what the forces of the pandemic and politics have done to society and hoped for a way forward. It's catches in my craw to say this, but we have to move forward and we have to do it together. When we begin to discuss and move forward, we're going to have to add forgiveness into the discussion, I think. Some people and some things are unforgivable, but many things are not. We're all so mad at each other. Many times we can't get anything done. But it's time to start thinking, at least thinking about forgiveness and optimism for the future. We had our congratulations, Mr. Smith. We like your attitude. Long before Tanya Council's cookies landed on Oprah Winfrey's favorite things list of 2021, they had already passed a tougher taste test, her grandmother's. As granddaughter of Mildred Mama Dip Council, Tanya Council grew up in a rarefied world in Southern food. Mama Dip had founded her influential namesake restaurant in Chapel Hill, authorized celebrated cookbooks, and made numerous television appearances. One day, Tanya Council was ready to toss a batch of test cookies, questioned whether the dream of turning her grandmother's beloved pecan pie into a cookie could ever be a reality. Mama Dip stopped her and asked for a taste, and she said, "I think you've got something there," Tanya Council said, and the cookies were added to the dessert case. I was always her biggest fan, and then she said that I knew she meant it. She didn't let just anyone put something in a dessert case. On November 1st, Tanya Council's Pecan Crisp cookies were named to Winfrey's converted holiday gift list, a list that mean an automatic bump in sales for local and national products alike. It was overwhelming. I was shocked that Oprah had tasted my cookies, Tanya said. The list obviously carries a lot of weight, and Oprah is a highly successful black woman. The internet has gone crazy, Miss Council said. Tanya Council grew up in her grandmother's restaurant, so a life of baking was no great surprise. "Food's in my blood," she said. The now-famous cookies were born out of a problem. While waiting tables in a restaurant about a decade ago, she was tired of seeing an empty space in Mama Dip's dessert counter beyond the daily cakes and pies. The empty space nagged at her, so she said that as a council, she solved the problem with food. She set out to recreate one of her grandmother's most popular pies and said, "That's my favorite dessert ever," Tanya said, "and I wanted to take that and turn it into a cookie." Miss Council also already anticipating a busy baking season, but now with a national spotlight on her cookies, she expects it to reach a new level. "The pecan people are going to be very happy," she said. The Oprah-approved pecan crisps come in a $24 tin or a large $43 jar. There will be a Tanya's Cookie pop-up November the 19th at Crabtree Valley Mall near Miss Council's store, Sweet Tea and Cornbread. Tanya also runs a Sweet Tea and Cornbread restaurant at the North Carolina Museum of History. Congratulations. BB's Crispy Chicken, the new chicken sandwich spot from renowned chef restaurateur Ashley Christensen, opened on October the 30th. This location, the first of three BB restaurants to open in the Triangle, is in the Wegmans anchored Mideast development off Wake Forest Road. Miss Christensen, a two-time James Beard Award winner, first announced BB's Crispy Chicken in 2019, partnering with MDO Holdings, which owns the Durham Food Hall, to launch the fast casual chicken brand. BB's will serve nine different chicken sandwiches, including four spicy versions with increasingly hotter sauces and five cooler classics with toppings like pimento cheese, smoky barbecue sauce, and just pickles and a buttered bun. Sides include sweet potato waffle fries, cheese fries, fried cheese curds, and coleslaw. Also looks for salads, wraps, and milkshakes. Miss Christensen also already owns a popular chicken-centric spot, Beasley's Chicken Plus Honey in downtown Raleigh. But BB's is focusing on the sandwich itself. In recent years, the fried chicken sandwich has become the most competitive menu item following the phenomena stirred up by Popeye's chicken sandwich. Ms. Christensen said she aimed to push the fried chicken wars even further, setting up a fry station on her front porch to test new deep-fried ideas. She estimates testing over 2,000 chicken sandwiches before finalizing the BB's menu. "From the start, we have wanted to highlight the overall goodness of the chicken sandwich," she said. "I also knew we wanted to share this with the world, so it brought a completely different level of focus for me and the necessity for essential flavor profiles throughout the menu. I really believe that we're about to unveil its greatness." The Raleigh restaurant is at 2920 Sherman Oak Place, Unit 140, and will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Two others are planned, with locations in Durham University's Hill Development and Cary's Parkside Town Commons. It seems that everyone has their version of a fried chicken sandwich. And speaking of fried chicken, we learned that Andrew Cathy, the grandson of T. Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A in 1967 has assumed the role of the chief executive officer of this family-owned and operated firm. Chick-fil-A turned a basic chicken sandwich into the third largest restaurant chain by domestic sales in the United States. Its relatively simple menu, focused on grilled and fried chicken, has inspired copycat offerings from bigger competitors. Mr. Cathy, a 43-year-old father of four who grew up in the business, wants to push the company into the future through delivery, new online-only brands, and updated drive-thrus. He also intends to remain rooted in the company's traditions and values. When asked if there was a lot of pressure in this new position, he said, "I feel a strong sense of responsibility. We're very passionate about the family business aspect of it. And as we look across the country and across the world, there aren't many that succeed as they go down to multiple generations. It takes an inordinate amount of work. Chick-fil-A is a family-owned business. When asked if he thought they would ever go public, that is to sell shares, he replies, "I know we will never go public. There's not a real benefit for us. We don't need a lot of investors or extra cash to go and build new stores and new businesses outside of what we're doing now." Mr. Cathy said they're looking at some plant-based options for customers. He said he actually tried a couple of products. "I'm really excited about it. I do think there's a tremendous opportunity as the market continues to evolve. I know many of you like to go to Chick-fil-A." Last June, from his house on the west side of Raleigh, Sonny Gerhart could hear the fire engines blaring in the middle of the night. His phone was blowing up with calls, and he hoped against hope that the two weren't connected. They were. St. Roch, Fine Oysters Plus Bar, his restaurant for 4 years, was on fire. "It was a very scary and surreal experience," Mr. Gebhardt said. "I remember thinking, I hope that's not going to be my restaurant." And it was. A region cooler had overheated and caught fire, the flames crawling under the floor, eventually reaching the stove and hood system and lighting the grease that eventually inevitably builds up over time. That's when the fire took off. There was no structural damage, but the equipment had been ruined by smoke and water, and the fire had burned some of the kitchen floor. Fire crews extinguished the blaze quickly, but the rest of it seems to have avoided the worst. I was thinking, I wonder if we can get someone to clean it up and open that night, Mr. Gerhardt said, but there's a lot of stuff we couldn't clean. With power to St. Roch off, Mr. Gerhardt sat with his restaurant and the rest of the night, the dining room and the kitchen empty and dark, waiting in case some hot spot flared up again and the disconnected fire alarm couldn't scream for help. It was significant water and fire damage, even with just cosmetic, he said. Thankfully, no one was hurt and the building was okay. I love this space. They don't build them like this anymore. They were able to reopen October 30th. The reopened St. Roch will serve a familiar menu for fans of the restaurant before the fire. Oysters will still be the heart of the restaurant, with varieties coming from East and West Coasts and emphasis on those from the North Carolina's waters. There's a new roasted oyster with crawfish and spicy salami, joining other options like pimento cheese, barbecue, and garlic butter. Mr. Gerhardt said St. Roch will lean more into the New Orleans classic, like gumbo and jambalaya, instead of trying to reinvent them. But the gumbo is now served on potato salad instead of rice. People are always a little hesitant to go for gumbo with potato salad, but it's absolutely one of my favorite things, he said. It's so good. Mr. Gerhardt said that even when he didn't know when the doors might reopen, closing was never an option. St. Roch and nearly every restaurant struggled under the hardest year restaurants have seen in decades. He said that's all the more reason to keep going. Failure is scary, but you learn from it, Mr. Gerhardt said. And that's how we grow. If you give up, you're never going to see growth. And we have to admire his spirit. A restaurant in Sanford has been named one of the nation's best new restaurants by online food publication Eater. Fonda Lupita, a Mexican restaurant that opened last year on Main Street in Sanford, joined 10 other restaurants in big cities across the country as Eater's best new restaurants in America. The restaurant opened its doors in mid-March of 2020, replacing a breakfast-only diner just as COVID-19 pandemic began to impact the United States. A week before Fonda Lupita's first night of service, North Carolina ordered restaurants to close their dining rooms in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. The restaurant persevered through the past year and a half and now has the eyes of the food working upon its menu of gorditas, tacos made with freshly made tortillas and tamales. The restaurant is owned by Birdiana Ferruccio, who runs Fonda Lupita with her family, basing the menu on passed-down recipes from generations of cooks in Mexico, according to the restaurant's website. Sanford is by far the smallest town represented on Eater's list, with other restaurants hailing from foodie capitals like New York, Austin, Texas, and San Francisco. And we're writing about Fonda Lupita. Eater Carolina's editor, Aaron Perkins, compared it to other small-town restaurants in North Carolina that have become dining destinations, naming Kindred in the college town of Davidson and Vivian Howard's Chef and the Farmer in Kinston. If it's true that a good restaurant can help define the town it's in, it's certainly true in North Carolina. Fonda Lupita may just put Sanford on the map for having some of the most heartful cuisine, Perkins wrote in her story. In the past, Eater has doled out top honors to North Carolina chefs, including Chef of the Year for Ashley Christensen in 2017, and naming Gabe Barker of Pizzeria Mercanto one of its young guns, a national distinction for up-and-coming chefs in 2018. It looks like I may have to take a trip to Sanford. Speaking of fast-growing small towns, here's an example. One of North Carolina's fastest-growing towns will see sweeping renovation of its main strip in coming years, including the addition of a Publix grocery store. Crossland Southeast, a commercial real estate developer based in Raleigh, announced that Publix will serve as the anchor tenant in the company's 78-acre Wahlberg community, which will span much of Main Street in Roseville. The $120 million mixed-use development is expected to break ground by the second quarter of 2022 and open its first section in the summer of 2023, according to a press release. The development will include grocery, retail, restaurant, residential, and medical uses. Roseville has been primarily residential, and a lot of schools have been built, Austin Williams, a partner at Crossland Southeast, told the News and Observer. Really, the only thing missing is that there's just not been the opportunity from a real estate standpoint for someone to get a hold of a large enough tract to do something that's transformative, and so we're fortunate to have that opportunity. Publix, which Crossland Southeast secured in a partnership with Wilmington's Harbor Retail Partners, will be among the first construction projects, along with some related commercial buildings, according to Williams. Later sections, including a neighborhood of 140 townhomes, will follow at an imprecise timeline. It's really up to the market how quick addition uses will be delivered, Mr. Williams said. But we hope that probably within the next 3 or 4 years we can be completed and or under construction on every corner and every component. Roseville, about a half an hour northeast of Raleigh, is among the state's fastest-growing towns, according to the 2020 census data. It grew from 4,000 residents to 9,475 over the past 10 years, giving it the fifth-highest growing rate in North Carolina, according to the town's website. Do you have one of these among your kitchen utensils, a cast-iron skillet? Nonstick pans are a godsend for frying eggs and flipping pancakes, and an enameled Dutch oven will never disappoint when cooking stews, soups, and sauces. But when it comes to the workhorse of a kitchen equipment, nothing beats a well-seasoned cast-iron skillet, and they're not that expensive. A 12-inch pan can be purchased for around $30, and it's incredibly versatile. You might think Grandma used it for frying chicken or making cornbread, but you can always roast it also roasted chicken or sear a steak in a cast iron pan, using one to make the fluffiest pancakes, bake a deep dish pizza or a loaf of bread in one, or even pan fry a piece of fish. Properly seasoned, cast iron pans boast a silky, shiny surface that's naturally nonstick, eliminating the need for added fats. It also retains even constant heat if the pan has been preheated over medium-high heat on a stovetop or in a 500-degree oven. Not sold? The cookware can also go directly from the stovetop or the oven to the table. And if you take care of it properly, cast iron lasts for generations, earning it points for sustainability. Cooking on cast iron might even be good for your health, because a small amount of iron is transferred from the pan to your body every time you use it. I only wish the person who wrote this article had given instructions for seasoning the pan. Did you get enough sleep last night? We know that getting good night's sleep is one of the healthiest habits to incorporate into your life. In fact, regular shut-eye impacts pretty much every part of your body and should never be considered a waste of time, says Muir Krieger, M.D., professor of medicine and author of The Mystery of Sleep. We all need to make it a priority, and here are some of the ways that the lack of sleep affects us. Your mood. Studies have shown that not getting enough sleep is associated with irritability, negative moods, and increased risk for mental health problems, including depression, said Wendy Troxell, a senior behavioral and social scientist at the RAND Corporation and author of Sharing the Covers, Every Couple's Guide to Better Sleep. Your eyes. If you wake up bleary-eyed after a sleepless night, you're not alone. The ongoing issue of dry eyes, eye strain, or eye fatigue can be related to poor sleep, said Michelle Drierup, psychology doctor, a psychologist and director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at the Cleveland Clinic Sleep Disorder Center. If your blood sugar is unstable or you have diabetes, that also may disrupt your sleep and affect your eyes, your heart. Night after night of getting a little sleep can tax your cardiovascular system and contribute to such heart problems as high blood pressure. Dr. Drierup says getting less than 6 hours of sleep habitually has long been shown to be associated with hypertension. Productivity. Don't be surprised if after a poor night's sleep, you can't get as many items marked off of your to-do list. And on the flip side, a good night's sleep can do wonders for your brain. Adequate sleep has a direct correlation with increased concentration and better cognitive functioning. Your immune system. Sleep is paramount for a healthy immune system. While you rest, your body goes to work producing hormones that ultimately help your immune system fight off infections. It's very important to get a good night's sleep now during the pandemic, Dr. Drierup said. And when we're sleep-deprived, we're more likely to catch the flu or get a cold. The best way to find out if you have a sleeping issue is to think about how you feel when you wake up, and then again in the afternoon when the energy level tends to wane. If you're sleepy during the day or find yourself falling asleep at your desk, you're either sleeping too much or too little. While sleep needs vary from person to person, most people need from 7 to 9 hours a night to feel refreshed. If you're groggy or constantly exhausted, your health care provider can help you find out what medical condition might be causing your sleepless nights, Dr. Krieger said. We've got very good at treating sleep disorders. Are you looking for a place to dine out? The classic comfort of an Italian pasta noodle is the thread that connects a family of restaurants in Seoul and Durham. Now the family's expanded to Raleigh with a sprawling new restaurant. Cosiello Terrazza will open in North Hills, becoming the first new restaurant open in the Advanced Auto Parts Tower. This restaurant is a sister restaurant to the Cosiglio Osteria, which opened in Durham in 2018. Jimmy Kim is the chef and owner of the North Hills restaurant. The restaurant will veer more in the direction of the sea, Mr. Kim says, with a menu including more seafood and fish dishes than its Durham counterpart. They focus on some of Italy's most classic dishes, but serve versions reminiscent of Mr. Kinn's childhood meals while visiting Italy. He says that's by design, that the classics never go out of style. Food evolves with time, but we've tried to do more authentic Italian dishes, he said. People rarely get tired of the most traditional dishes when they're done well, and that's the rest of our philosophy. Started by Julian Kim, Cucciolo Osteria opened in Seoul, South Korea in 2015 and has since expanded in 3 different restaurants here. His cousin and Duke University alum moved the brand to Durham in 2018. The cousins lived in Europe for a decade growing up, and Mr. Kim says Italian food became a thing of comfort. As he considered an expansion, Mr. Kim said he outsourced some of his research to a class at Duke's Fuqua Business School of Business, his alma mater. He had considered Charlotte and downtown Raleigh, but their findings pointed to North Hills, a brand new space and a brand new building, he said. We've been thinking of a new second restaurant since 2019. I want to be involved in Raleigh area. Welcome to North Raleigh, Mr. Kim. The 2 big soft drink producers have said their sales have rebounded from slow sales due to COVID-19 restrictions. Coca-Cola and PepsiCo have reported sales increases. Coca-Cola says that rising COVID-19 vaccination rates and the reopening of restaurants, stadiums, and movie theaters have boosted the sale of soft drinks around the globe. PepsiCo said it raised its projected sales goals for the year amid strong sales growth of Mountain Dew, Doritos, and other snacks, which the company faces continuing supply chain disruptions and increased costs for aluminum cans, plastic bottles, labor, and trucking. PepsiCo has also a chain of restaurants and other snack brands. Coca-Cola's brand sales dropped in 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic closed dining and entertainment venues. Sales for 2021 are expected to top the sales for 2019. Chief Financial Officer John Murphy said that the results show that consumers are starting to return to pre-dynamic consumption patterns. There are a lot of conversation a year ago on whether people's social behavior was going to be permanently impacted by the pandemic, Mr. Murphy said. What we are seeing is that that's not the case. People want to get out and about. Ask yourself, do I want to get out and about? I think the answer would be a big yes. When was the last time you were able to go out? And I'll ask you this question. Have you got your Christmas cards in the mail yet? But this is the time we think of friends and family, those we've lost during the year, and those that we would love to see. We've run out of time for today's episode of Thought for Food. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Bob Kruger, reading for the North Carolina Radio Reading Service. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138, 919-832-5138.